Our scripture lesson today continues what has been a theme throughout the weeks in November of us finding Jesus at dinner tables, either being invited or being looked down upon by other guests or stories that he's told. And here, Jesus is at a great dinner, and in the midst of the dinner, he starts teaching, and then he tells a parable about a great feast. So let us listen for the word of the Lord from the Gospel of Luke. One of the dinner guests, on hearing Jesus' teaching, said to him, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land and I must go out and see it. Please accept my apologies.' Another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to try them out. Please accept my apologies.' Another said, 'I have just been married and therefore I cannot come.' And so the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and the lanes and compel people to come in so that my house will be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." This morning in our confirmation class, our 7th and 8th grade youth learned about worship and how we structure our patterns of worship in the Presbyterian tradition. At the end of the class, they were broken up into small groups and given a quick assignment. They had 5 minutes to each plan a 1 minute long worship service. And they came back and we heard some beautiful worship led. We heard some music, reading scripture, telling people the good news. One group had this morning's bulletin and they just described every single act that we would normally do on a Sunday, except the sermon. The one part that they were ready to move on beyond. How many of us, in hearing this scripture, are wondering a little bit in the back of our mind, did I remember to RSVP to that invitation that was sent? Earlier this week, I was talking with a friend about how we go through life, how we go through engaging in our church and our community and what's going on around us. And my friend reflected. She said, "We spend so much of our time and our energy on the what and the how of life that sometimes we forget about the why that's most important. We can fill our days, fill our time with so much what and how. There are errands to run. There are details to handle. There's complicated systems like the medical world or the legal world to navigate through. We've got to get the kids ready to school. We've got to get all those details handled. All the tasks have to be checked off the list. The assignments, the project, the homework, the studying, cramming for a test. We've got to make money. We've got to save money. We've got to spend money. We've got to not miss that favorite show on TV. We've got to leave ample time for sitting and staring at screens. So much doing, so much what and how that pulls our mental energy. But the question of why pushes us deeper. Why is a question of discernment. a question that asks us to consider or maybe reconsider our commitments, our priorities. That's what's going on at the beginning of this parable that Jesus tells. Now, the way the story goes fits the patterns of social protocol in the ancient world that Jesus was a part of. When a big, important dinner was thrown by a big, important host, there were actually two rounds of invitations. The first was sent weeks, if not months, in advance. Save the date. Put this on your calendar. But then, on the day of the feast, just as it was about to begin, word was spread, often by word of mouth, to go and remind the guests, now it's time to come. The party is about to start. All the important people in town got invited to this great dinner that the host was throwing, and all the important people were too busy. Too busy to show up. Notice the folks, at least the first two who are invited, are deemed to be important, deemed to be valuable, because they seem to be rich. They've got so much money that they could buy a piece of land without even inspecting it first. They've got money to spend, money to blow. They could buy yoke of oxen without even giving them a test drive. Who cares? If they don't work just right, I'll buy some more. We see a level of affluence in the ways that they engage in their business practices. Not paying attention to every little detail, but only after the fact, going to inspect what they have purchased. Now, the third category, because we're nice, polite folks, we're probably willing to let those folks off the hook. I'm getting married. Sounds like a pretty good excuse, doesn't it? But it reveals a little bit of what might also be going on under the current. If they received that first invitation weeks, if not months ago, surely they knew when this wedding was planned. They could have had the courtesy to let the host know of their prior commitment. And the fact that the host is throwing a great party the same time they're being married lets us know that though he considers them important enough to invite to his great dinner, they haven't bothered to invite him to the wedding. All of these folks who make excuses for why they can't come seem to be winning at the how and the what of life, don't they? They've made it. They've got more money than they know what to do with. They've found their soulmate and they're ready to settle in for happily ever after. The what and the how are falling right into place. But Jesus' parable invites us and them to ask the question of why. Yes, business matters. Yes, family matters. But why? To what end? We see the answer to the why for these invited guests who snubbed the invitation is that they consider their own time to be more important, more valuable than the time of their host. They matter more. That's why they can't come. I just don't have enough time. I was having coffee with another friend, a wise friend this week, who said that in his life, he started to feel less sympathetic when he hears people respond, "I don't have enough time." He said, "The truth is, we all have the same amount of time, don't we? All of us get the same 24 hours issued in each day. All of us get the same 7 days in each week. The question is not how much time we have, but rather, what matters enough? What's important? How we spend our time is a reflection of priorities. It's a reflection of the why of life. What matters the most? How we spend our time. It reminds me of the story. A story that goes back a few years was told by the CBS National News about someone that most folks in the world would not have considered important, Agatha Burgess. There's no reason she would have been on the news or in the headlines except someone called in and said, "Here's a warm, good story you could tell." Agatha Burgess lived in Buffalo, South Carolina, which is the middle of nowhere. In fact, she didn't even live in town. She lived on a hill outside of town. She was 80 years old. And every morning, Monday through Friday, Miss Burgess would wake up at 5 a.m. to start cooking. She'd make corn muffins, biscuits. She'd check on the dressing she'd made the night before. Then, a few hours later, she'd get started roasting the turkey, making gravy and rice and fresh corn and green beans and peach cobbler. Every morning, Monday through Friday. By 11 a.m., volunteers from the local Meals on Wheels would show up at her kitchen to load up their cars to take food to homebound members, some of whom Miss Burgess had never known, would never meet. By noon, cars would pull into her driveway, and their passengers would get out and fill her dining room. All kinds of people from all over their small community would show up in her house to eat. There were textile mill workers, there were truck drivers, there were judges and lawyers, the owner of the local car dealership. Everybody in town would come to Miss Burgess's house to eat. They'd fill their plate and then were invited to come back for a second helping. Just to cover the cost of purchasing the food, Miss Burgess asked everyone to throw in $2.75 into a small cardboard box. And if that day you couldn't afford that $2.75, then she'd let you eat for free as long as you needed to. She didn't make a dime off of this daily feast that she prepared. And after the crowds would leave, she'd start washing the dishes. She'd start baking for the next day. She'd head to bed about 10 o'clock at night. Like I said, someone tipped off the national news and CBS sent a reporter to interview Miss Burgess. And she told the interviewer, "I'm not out to make money. That's not what my life is about." So the reporter asked her then, the big question, why? Why do you do it? Why do you keep doing it at 80 years old, getting up at 5 a.m., working nonstop on these meals until 10 o'clock when you crash at night? Why? Why? Miss Burgess simply answered, "I love it." She said, "These people that keep coming every day, they mean so much to me. I just fall in love with these people. I've always wanted to be a friend to others. I've never wanted a big, fine house. I'm just satisfied like I am. I'm fine. I get what I want. I always get everything I want because I know what to want." Why? Because of love. Clarity on why helps her answer the what of life. I know what I want because I know what to want. Jesus' parable invites us to ask that question. Why? And when the why is redefined from this host who just wants to be seen as important with all the important people at his table, when his why is redefined to wanting a house full, a table full, well, then something beautifully, mysteriously glorious happens. A table full. A glimpse of the kingdom of God. Imperfect, incomplete, but a glimpse nonetheless. All who gather around that table. Y'all heard the announcements this morning. I tried to go as fast as I could through them. But they were long, weren't they? There's a lot going on in the life of this church family, especially this time of year. There's a whole lot of what's and how's. Whether it's mission and outreach, whether it's fellowship and time together, whether it's education and study. In the life of a busy, mission-minded, serving, worshiping, thinking congregation like this, there's a whole lot that fills our time. But it's important for us to ask why. Why? Why do we show up for Sunday school, for worship? Why do we volunteer our time making meals, cleaning up, serving on committees, serving as leaders in the church? Why? Why do we show up as youth advisors or to help spread mulch on the playground without being paid a dime? Why? Why do we do what we do? I can't answer that question for each and every one of you. That's a question of discernment that this parable, that the gospel invites us to ask and to question. But I've got a few guesses about the why for a church family like this. I think why we respond and live together the way that we do is because we know that God is love, and that those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Why? Because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Why? Because God looked at all that God had made and said, "It's very good." Why? Because God's grace is sufficient for the calling to which we have been called. Why? Because in life and in death we belong to God. Why? Because nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? I think because we know the truth that in the end, the good news of the gospel really is good news. To God alone be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.